Hi, my name is Jennifer Cozens. I am the artist behind Red Parker. So we're here today in my shop, which is in Criterion Street, and this is where I sell my artwork.
Describe your art style for me.
I'm an illustrator. I started out drawing just with a pencil, the traditional way, pen and ink. My art style is quite bold and very colourful, lots of clean lines, also a lot of detail, and lots of flat colour.
From being an artist to owning a shop full of art is a very long process. Where did you start as an artist?
So I started working at the markets. So I had a stall at Salamanca where I sold prints and various other things I made using my drawings. And then when I wrote and published my first book, that was where things started to change.
What was that first book that picked things up for you?
It was 101 Collective Nouns. Well, it came from prints. I started just doing some artwork of animals. I really like strange words, so I did a picture with lots of different owls and wrote a parliament of owls on it, for example. I did a few different ones, and I found that people really connected with them a lot more than some of my other artwork. It seemed to start a lot of conversations, and they sold a lot better at the market. So one day I just had the idea maybe I should turn this into a book.
It's also a really great way to introduce kids to interesting words, isn't it?
I remember as a kid learning some of these words, and you know, some of them are so strange and some of them make perfect sense and others don't make any sense, and you wonder where on earth they came from. So, you know, anything that gets people wondering about language, I think is a good thing.
What makes perfect sense and what makes no sense?
A parliament of owls kind of makes perfect sense and no sense at the same time, based on the fact that there's this idea that owls are wise. So I can see where it came from, but, you know, current day doesn't really match up very well, in my opinion. A smack of jellyfish is one of my favourites, which makes perfect sense because you just can picture the little jellyfish tentacles under the water.
I've always liked A Business of Ferrets.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. That doesn't really make sense, but I don't know.
If you've owned a ferret, it does. They're always busy.
Yeah, well, I guess if you own a business, it makes sense too, because you're always running around trying to get everything done. So maybe it does make sense.
What was the moment of transformation when you went, well, I have to have a shop, a permanent place?
It was in the back of my mind as a bit of a dream to have my own shop, which is probably not unusual for artists to sell their own work. But I wasn't really actively looking for a shop, and I just had an opportunity to have a pop-up shop from a friend whose shop was, the lease was ending, it was empty for 4 months, and I had an opportunity to try it out without having to invest a huge amount of money. So the opportunity came and I thought, let's give it a go, and I did, and it went really well. So when that shop wasn't available anymore, I started looking actively for a new shop, and that's how I ended up here.
What was it like those first weeks where you were suddenly in your own shop?
Look, it was really exciting. It wasn't, you know, immediate success because no one knew I was there, but it was kind of exciting to have people finding me and also being excited that I had a shop and I was able to sell other artists' work as well and basically create a space that was full of all of my favourite things. So, you know, it was really exciting, and to after a little while to find that actually, you know, this was viable in a business sense was even more exciting, because as an artist, you know, you kind of get used to the idea that it's very hard to make a living as an artist. So, you know, to be able to find a way of doing that that people really liked, yeah, it was really exciting.
An artist shop is a difficult thing to run in a way because it's your taste versus the public's taste. So you have to kind of end up being pretty harsh about things that don't sell, even if you like them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. I'm a nice person.
That remains to be seen. I'll be the judge of that.
You know, I'm the kind of person that likes to say yes, of course, to everyone that ever asks me anything, which, you know, can get me into trouble. But, you know, it's very hard to say no, especially when, you know, you can see a product is beautifully made, or, you know, someone's put a lot of heart and soul into it. But sometimes you have to make those hard calls. But, you know, there's also, we have the opportunity here now that we do have some success that we can put something here in the shop that may not be a runaway commercial success, but we have other products that are. So, you know, it's nice to be able to support artists even if they're not hugely profitable. But if they're doing something worthwhile, we still like to support them if we can.
What's been the thing that you've put out for sale which has been a runaway success that surprised you?
Magnets and tea towels. I mean, who would have thought I would sell so many? Tea towels in particular are such a big product for us. And when I made my first tea towel a few years ago, I would never have imagined now I've got about 30 different designs and we sell thousands of them every year. And it's a tea towel. I mean, you know, tea towels aren't that exciting, are they?
But they're nice. It's a piece of art that you pull out and have every day. It's there hanging in your kitchen every day. It's actually art that you use.
True, and people keep buying them, so I guess you're right.
And when the old ones get tatty, they have to come and buy a new one. That's the important bit.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we've got lots, so.
How do you get time running a retail space to actually still be creative and actually make new stuff, make new designs?
Well, look, in the early days it was hard because I was here 5-6 days a week. But over the years, as we've grown a little bit as a business and become a bit more successful, more people know about us. These days, I'm only here a couple of days a week. So I have a few employees that work here now. My family work here as well. So we're a true family business.
How daunting is hiring that first employee who's not a member of your family?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes the family members are more daunting. Look, it's scary taking on employees because you have a responsibility to them. But at the same time, it's exciting. You know, all of our staff, you know, have been amazing people who are interested in what we're doing. Most of them are pursuing their own dreams. So one of my first employees is now a full-time artist whose work we stock here in the shop. So we continue to sell it, but she got too busy with her own business and had to leave, which is great. You know, and it was amazing to be able to support her on her own journey to becoming a full-time artist through providing her with a part-time job, you know, that was in the industry she wanted to work in.
Be prepared after this goes to air for 100 young artists to approach you for a job in your shop.
Bring it on.
There was a point a couple of years ago, I think, where your book was shown on an American TV show, a very big American TV show. Did that have a direct effect on you? Did you see orders suddenly explode overnight?
Yes, we did. My own shop, as well as every bookshop in Australia that had my books, sold out over the weekend after that. So it was on the Ellen show. So yes, a huge impact. And it took a while to get the books back in stock. My publisher was shocked.
Did that have a long-term effect, do you think, in terms of the business growth? Did the business continue kind of on a high after that?
Yeah, look, it's even now, that was just over 3 years ago. Even now, occasionally someone comes in and asks about the book that was on the Ellen show. You know, not so often these days, but yeah, it definitely had an ongoing impact. And also, I think mainly for my reputation outside of Tasmania. So a lot of bookshops around Australia that might have had one or two copies of my book suddenly had lots of people coming in asking for it. So they in turn ordered more books. So since then I've released new books. There's a lot more name recognition for me, which is, you know, amazing.
As well as having this space, you've got a warehouse space as well. So how much of your business is actually shipping stuff interstate and international?
Quite a lot. I'd say it's actually the largest part of our business now. So the retail shop is kind of the face of the business, but we wholesale our products to, we've probably got around 50 stores around Australia that stock our products. And on top of that, a lot of bookshops that get my books directly from the publisher. So yeah, look, that's a huge part of our business.
I've been told that you've been fundraising for a library in Indonesia. How did that happen?
Look, like many Australians, I quite liked a holiday in Bali. A few years ago, my wife and I went for a week in the middle of winter in that traditional escaping Tasmania trip. In our wanderings around, we came across an organisation called the Bali Children's Project, which supports schools and libraries in Bali that are, you know, traditionally very underfunded. We liked what they did and donated some money and left, but I just kept thinking about it and thought, you know, as an author, as a producer of books, I would like to do more. And Bali is a place that, at least pre-COVID, you know, hundreds of thousands of Australians visited every year. And it struck me as phenomenal that kids don't have libraries in a place that is so full of wealthy Australians. The injustice of that just didn't really leave me. So after thinking about it for a while, I just thought, well, I've got the ability to do something about that. So I did.
And you've built an actual library?
Yeah, well, we've renovated a library. The library existed, but it was a very run-down building full of holes in the walls and mould and leaking, and the books were all, like, so old. They were black and white and ratty and not very interesting. You just could see them and think, well, that's not going to inspire a child at all. There was nowhere comfy to sit and read. Yeah, it just was not the kind of place to inspire learning. So we raised the money to renovate an existing library, which, you know, already exists, the school exists, the staff exists. So in a way, it's probably better than building a library from scratch because they have the infrastructure already ready to use it.
And kids ready to use it.
The kids were ready to use it. And, you know, once it was renovated, seeing the kids arrive back in the library on video was one of the most amazing moments of my life.
What's the next creative thing you're working on?
Well, I'm working on a new book I've just started, and it's about Antarctica.
For kids? For adults?
It's for kids. So the target audience is probably around 7 to 12, which is kind of my usual space to be working in. However, most of my books I like to think they're interesting to adults because they're full of quirky facts that a lot of adults don't know. And I've had plenty of parents tell me they love reading my books to their kids because they learn something as well.
Well, thank you for hosting me in your lovely store. Who are you going to handball me onto?
So I'm going to handball this to my sister. Her name is Jo Marie, and she is very different from me, but possibly more interesting. She's a scientist, a neuroscientist. She works in medical research, but she is also a musical theatre fanatic and is trying to build a new society here in Hobart.